I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Matt Perlman. Matt has founded six companies over the past decade, and he has led the launch, acquisition, and sale of different businesses. Upon the sale of his digital marketing agency in 2013, Matt began to focus on ways of offering strategy and process to other companies interested in similar success. Matt has led seminars, trainings, and workshops for over 1,000 people on topics including leveraging internet marketing for business growth, personal development, and game-changing business practices. He's been skydiving twice and has the video to prove it. And during his time living in South Florida, he was named a top 30 under 30 CEO by Atlantic Avenue magazine. Matt, welcome to the show.
Good morning, David. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. You and I met here in New York, I don't know, probably a year or more ago. And I was really impressed by all the things that you've done in your life already. And it's really great to have you on. So you've already had great success as an entrepreneur. And I wonder if we could start off by talking a little bit about why you have done what you've done.
So can you repeat that question?
What's the why behind, what's your motivation behind the path that you have pursued? And then we'll kind of get into some of the details of
how it's worked out. Inherently, I think my why for what I'm doing and how I do what I do looks nothing like what I believed I was going to do coming out of maybe high school. I grew up in New York area, went to school for finance and for banking. And the trajectory for me was go work at a big bank, right?
Yeah, and corporate.
Corporate America, you know, climb someone else's ladder. And it wasn't until I read a couple of the books, specifically I read, you know, a couple of things by Robert Kiyosaki, who just kind of opened my eyes to other possibilities that, yeah, I could actually have my own ladder that someone else could climb. That it was like, it was like something I didn't even know that I did not even know. And it created this new found possibility for me. And so what ended up happening was I wanted to find an industry that I was kind of new in, that was new entirely, which was internet marketing and advertising online. And a way to kind of create my own thing that I could have people around me that are great work with me on building something powerful. And so the context of having the right people, having a good process for how we do business, having a fantastic product or service that people love, all in essence helping drive profitability, that was kind of like the impetus for doing anything I do right now.
And Matt, why internet marketing? How did you kind of figure out your niche?
I'd say that I've had a mind as a marketer in terms of putting things in front of people and seeing what would work and what would not work, and then tying that to a business, like business results, and taking marketing and acumen together. And I found that internet marketing was so new, and it was a way of being able to pull people forward. And the actual first business I started with, which was with two of my friends from college, had a great story there, a great couple of years of living an awesome lifestyle in South Florida, building a great business of, you know, like dozens of people working for us. And I think that the real value we had gotten was we had this new offering that people are unaware of, and they're not clear on what this even is, this internet marketing thing. What's Google? What's all this search engine stuff? And so it really gave me the chance to excel in something, learn it well, and be able to explain it to people, and really felt like I was empowering them to make a decision on whether that was the right thing for them. So internet marketing both fell onto my lap, and I kind of grabbed it by the horns and ran with it to really kind of take it out into the market and show people that there is a thing out there that you can use in your business that's different, distinguishable, can help diversify you from your competitors, and really has an opportunity early on when the prices were pretty low back in, you know, 2003, 2004 to use something like Google.
So your niche was based on doing something that was new in the marketplace.
Yeah, I found that that's exactly right. How do you take something new and bring it into, how do you take something you've been doing and apply it to something new. That was kind of like the story I'd bring to people where I was working with a small business owner, like a law firm or a plastic surgeon or a regional brand that needed to drive foot traffic in their store. And they've been doing things, through radio or TV or print or word of mouth. How did they take this new thing called the internet and complement what they're already doing or augment something else they're doing? And so that brings something new to the market and new to a person, new to a business owner. That was like the, I guess, a great pleasure of mine.
So how do you know when you're working in a niche that is a new area in the marketplace or in the business world, how do you know that there really is a business for you behind that specific niche?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So it's distinct that the marketing service as a service for someone else can help drive their business is completely distinguished or distinct from it being a business of mine, right? Great question. So that it wasn't a business of mine until I actually made the decision called let's have a business. It was just a hobby at first, right? It was a thought, but immediately it became a business when my two buddies and I sat in our living room after working 9 to 5 at a job and worked from 5 p.m. to 9 a.m. building the process, building the manuals, building the sales sheets, building the LLCs, and using different types of technology to kind of leverage our company. And at the time, there was brand new ways of incorporating your business. I'm not going to plug any names. There's brand new ways of getting phone service all online. So we were, kind of absorbing all those things, which made it a business for us and an actual business as opposed to just a hobby or a service we're providing on the side.
And what would you say, since particularly working in a new area, what would you say some of your keys were to success?
I'd say the keys that I had to success ended up becoming the things I wasn't doing early on in my career in spite of success. So I know that sounds kind of redundant. Like I was successful in spite of doing the things that make me successful now. And what that looks like is installing and implementing really effective process that can be reliable for, let's just say myself, my team, clients, people in our community and our world that they can rely on. And so what that actually looks like is, for example, I had an opportunity to sell the agency that I had was able to successfully exit from in 2013. I tried selling in 2009. So the market had just really kind of taken a dive, right, in 2007, 2008. And so internet marketing companies were really not, really were not, they were becoming commoditized. They were becoming very common. And they were all really based off of contracts. There's not much, a lot of intellectual property unless you own some type of software. And so I was able to just sell, build visions for people, get a team around me, and we would all drive towards this goal. But when we couldn't sell, primarily because the business was way too contingent upon me being there for it to be scaled, which was a real risk factor and a liability for a buyer, that's when I learned some of the things that I needed to learn. That was a huge lesson for me to say, wow, let's put the ego to side and to the ego to the side here and say, what do I need to do to have this business be something that's scalable and portable to someone else one day if I do want to sell? And so that was one of the big lessons for me around building process. And so I always had manuals and policies and procedures. But at the end of the day, a client could call my office, talk to their account manager and say, you know what, put Matt on the phone. And I'd get on the phone because I knew Joe Smith or Mary Jane. I knew them all. I knew all my clients. I had hundreds of clients. I knew all of them, and so that was a problem, right? There was too much. There wasn't enough space between me and them, and that's what we put in place. Really structures for fulfillment, structures for delivery, for communication, and those things have really resonated with me now as like a red flag. It's almost like when you're looking to buy a new car, and then you see that car on the road everywhere. Well, when I went to go put in process. And when I go to put in process and businesses up and now, it's obvious when it's not there. It's even more obvious, right? So that those are the things I like to do immediately for clients and for my consulting clients. And it's like, okay, hey, what do we got to do in here to make sure that your business is such that it can operate even without you if that's what you wanted, or it can grow without you if that's what you wanted, or it's saleable one day in the future if that's what you wanted. So those I think the real process piece is the key because most people that I know that are great will find great people to put around them. Most people that I know that are great will have a great product that they're selling. And most of them are passionate, but a lot of them lack the process to really get them to that profitability stage. So that was like a real flux.
So it's one thing to be able to build a company that provides great income. It's a totally different thing to build a company that you can sell.
I completely agree. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, a lot of people don't talk about that.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I feel like the conversations I've been in my life so far in terms of either as a vendor for a client or as a consultant to a client, marketing is a means to get you to do something. It's not the thing. And so I like to make sure I align what we're doing from a marketing standpoint or an operational standpoint to the thing. So that's the question. Like, what do you want to do? You know, Mary, what's your goal? Are you looking to grow your business by 5X? Are you looking to sell it one day? Do you want to add a partner? Do you want to take 5 weeks of vacation 10 times a year, twice a year? Like, what do you want to do, right? And what's this business's purpose for you personally, professionally, socially? You know, like, what does it look like? And then you can align all the stuff you take, all the actions you take, all the people you put around you, all the documents you put in place towards that one goal, right? And that's difficult in some cases for service businesses that are, you know, based on an hourly rate in some cases or based on a specific deliverable someone has. So
what are some examples either that you've seen where you've, you know, been a consultant or in your own business where you have seen a company make a successful transition if there's been difficulty in what you've just described, alignment between the personal goals of the owner and the way the business functions, right? And you if you realized, like as you did, that you in order to sell your company, you needed to have an ironclad process that was valuable to a buyer. What are some other examples that you may have come across where a business has been misaligned with the personal goals of the owner and how it may have transformed so that it did fit the personal goals?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm going to share using anonymous names of businesses and companies here just to maintain confidentiality for some of my clients. But the stories are honestly very resonant for me and have been for other companies. But I can speak specifically for one company that I worked with that was in a creative marketing business. Two owners, great people, really understand business, really get people, and were the kind of people that would just take on responsibility in the absence of it, an absence of leadership, so to speak. So it's like, I'll just do it. Like, I'll take care of it, right that. And so the I'll take care of it, mindset is both an asset in that things get done and it becomes a liability in some cases where you're just saying yes to too much and taking on too much role and responsibility at the detriment of a bunch of things in the business, from profitability to employee satisfaction. And so what had happened in this example was really sitting down with the ownership and saying, what's the 5-year vision? And then having just a small conversation about that. What I was more interested in was what's the 1-year vision? Like, what's next year going to look like? And then let's talk about financially what we're going to look like next year. So we have a calendar date of January 1st, 2016, right? Or January 6th, 2016, right? Whatever the date is, January 7th. January 7th, 2016. We have a conversation saying, hey, what's January 7th, 2017 look like financially? We come backwards and do the same thing for a 6-month window. Come back and do the same thing for a 3-month window. And by us putting on paper what the numbers look like, we then can take the deliverables, the services, and the offerings of this company and say, great, we want to double our business by 50. We want to double our business next year. We can do one of two things. We can sell more of A or more of B. Which do you want to do, right? And so we come up with this plan called, oh, you know what? We're going to actually sell 75% of our business is going to be selling product A, and 25% of our business is going to be selling product B. So now we know if we do that, we sell 75% of A, 25% of B, we'll double our business next year. Now the question is how? How do we do that, right? Before we get into the how, I had the conversation with the ownership of like, why? Why would we do that? Like, what's the impact of it? And what we got to uncover was that by us having that additional type of business, that 75% of product A, it would allow more staff to be here because there were higher margin services. It would allow more profitability in the business. So it would allow more staff, more hiring, of hiring senior people, which was a key there, hiring more senior people. And by hiring more senior people, it allowed the ownership, the owners, to kind of delegate more and feel comfortable and confident that other people can take on what they felt was necessary. So So that planning of aligning people with process and a goal in conjunction with inherently training the owners to stop doing some stuff. Like you got to stop answering this phone. You got to stop taking on these sales calls, or you got to tell me exactly how you want things to go. And when one of the owners is very clear, I want to do X, Y, and Z. I want to be able to walk into a room of a meeting that's been set up, have a conversation with the client, and then walk out and have those services delivered by my team. And that was pretty clear because this owner was highly effective. He is highly effective at his job. He can lead. He can do all those things. But where he shined, where he wanted to shine, was to do more of this, more of like ideation, strategy, more sales conversations, and less on fulfillment and delivery. And so we were able to sell higher margin services, bring more people on to fulfill the work that he was able to communicate to a client. And what that opened up for him was more, a little more free time. Now he's taking on bigger. Now he's back almost in a comparable role, but he's got a bigger game, playing bigger, bigger conversations, having more things going on, which is going to require more team. So it's a good problem to have. It's a process that, you know, he's going through, but it's working out great in terms of the margins of the business going up. I feel like satisfaction and overall being is going up. The office environment's changed. There's a whole new office space with really beautiful environment, you know, very, very trendy, very, very just fun to be around. So it's like, you know, the impact of those conversations lead to sometimes things that people don't even know, they don't even know about. And just taking the chance opened him up and opened me up to some new stuff, which has been great.
So just the simple process of setting your goals and then reverse engineering the plan, that's what it sounds like you're talking about. Work,
Correct.
right, working backwards and then being really clear on exactly what it is you need to do, and probably just as importantly, knowing what you're going to say no to. Has you listed several huge benefits that I hear people talk about that they desire all the time, which is not just greater revenue and greater profitability, but more satisfaction and more free time,
Yep.
right? Which is something business owners struggle with a lot.
Right. The thing that I found that was behind struggling with satisfaction, struggling with satisfaction every time is, like I said before, uncovering that you even want that. Because I find that most people are just owning their own job in many cases, and they get into a plateau because they're just running themselves into a place of, I think I should do more of this, this, and this, because this is what's worked for me so far. But it doesn't get necessarily to a level of satisfaction because those actions aren't necessarily aligned with a true want, right? So yeah, I agree with you completely.
Yeah. Matt, what do you think prevents people from making the kinds of changes they need to make in order for their companies to thrive?
I find that people often say things like fear and concern and considerations, and while that might be present, I find it's more about not putting people around you or me, let's just say in terms of I, not putting people around me to kind of like be a sounding board and to be a like to hold me to account to things. And so I am not a good person to evaluate what I want all the time. I genuinely need other people around me to hear what I'm thinking and discuss what I'm wanting to do, to give me feedback that gives me different context. Because I'm not a good reviewer of myself in many cases. I'm not sure if other people can relate to that. But if that's what people only have going on in terms of making decisions themselves and maybe their business partner, the dynamic of you asking yourself or you asking your partner over time gets into like a dance, like a ritual, right? And then you're kind of, I'm kind of dancing with like, oh, you know, I might make this decision. What should I do about that? Or I'll do this. And it usually comes from a decision I made in the past, not necessarily some newer thinking or a different way of getting about stuff. So just because I have a different goal, unless I have a different kind of context for an action I might take, I'll probably take the same exact action I took in the past to get me somewhere else. And the odds are it's not gonna, you know, break me through.
Yeah, so who do you use or have you used to help you or as a sounding board in making some of these critical decisions?
So I look at anything that's important in my life that I want to do, getting a coach. And a coach does not necessarily mean a hired professional. It could be a family member or a friend. Or a peer. So yeah, there's a variety of resources I've had in my life, whether I'm trying to train for a race, whether I'm looking to cook better, be a better cook, or more applicably to this conversation. Do I need to be better at sales? So I might look at a colleague of mine that does sales training. Do I need to, am I, is there something missing from a financial standpoint? Do I need a better, do I need someone that's had the experience in doing what I've already done to have me get more context to share with my accountant? Right? I might have an outsourced CFO come in and give me some context, like, you know what? You, man, don't have corporate America, corporate finance background experience. So you, don't expect you to know X, Y, and Z about, you know, taking your business to the next level. So maybe you want to consider this, this, and this. And then it gives me some real grounds to stand on that I understand something new and different to talk to my trusted advisors. And then, you know, I also find that the best people that I can talk to about business are also the ones that I share something in common with that's not business related. And so maybe there's you know, an exercise I do, or like I'm going to get back into running and training for races this year. And so I'm going to probably join a, you know, a running club. And so there's people that are in that running club, so to speak, that over time, once a relationship is built, I can really talk to about what I'm doing. And there's almost always someone that's in my world that's also has the same want likes as I do outside of business. So I find that's a really good way of getting related to people, but also getting good advice and good, pretty much unsolicited advice and unbiased advice, right? So yeah, those are the places I like to go.
That's great. So along those lines, Matt, who do you know personally who is currently doing remarkable work?
It's a great question. With a lot of people around me that are up to big things, one person that stands out is someone that I recently that I spoke to actually yesterday, and her name is Bella Rareworld. She's a networking and consultant that's based in London, and she's effectively built a powerful network in London for helping people kind of grow their business through word of mouth marketing and training and development through kind of relationship building. But she 2 years ago, without any communication, without any knowledge of anybody in New York, came over to New York and built the network here. And I was fortunate enough to be one of her early connections. And we had a really great conversation in August of last year, where she was training a seminar at a large law firm on the top floor of a building overlooking Central Park, and was brought to tears by the thought of what she had communicated maybe 10 years prior, that on a visit to New York City as a student, touring the Empire State Building, saying, "One day I'm going to build a business in New York." And she stood there in front of the room of about a dozen or a dozen and a half people that were taking training from her on networking, that she accomplished something that she set out for, you know, 10 years ago. And what she's doing now is really helping create a new context for how people can network, how to get more value from their network, but also how to bridge the gap over the pond, you know, going from New York to London, London to New York. And then that program will translate probably to other markets internationally. But I'm just impressed by who she is and what she's up to, and her tenacity and her willingness to create, you know, new opportunity. And I'm trying to find more. Well, I am finding more ways to work with her as well, so that I can help bring her business to New York and help I can scale some of my businesses internationally too. So really proud of her. Really excited what she's doing, and she's helping people get out of the rat race of what they call networking and into actually making it productive.
Wow, that's a remarkable story. Thanks for sharing that. Matt, what are you working on now? And I know that before we started recording, you were talking a little bit about some activities you're involved in and what your plans are. I wondered if you could tell us something about that.
Yeah, I find that so I had sold an agency like you shared earlier, and I spent a couple years consulting, and I was fortunate to consult with a really great agency called Path Interactive, who's just phenomenal at driving different types of conversions on the internet for people. Like it's inherently a business that I was involved in through my agency, but it's just a much more mature level, larger company. And so I'm really in a good spot where I have wonderful people around me. I'm able to contribute to an environment where we bring on great clients that are looking to drive results themselves. So, you know, we're in the world of helping educate people on how to leverage the internet to produce results for them that can change their business at the bottom line, like actual effective business. And so that's one area that I'm very focused on. And at the same time, I'm still an owner and an investor in two startups of mine. One's called Feedback Now, and we're a customer survey and loyalty and email marketing platform that acquires customer feedback at point of experience. Phenomenal business that's just starting to take off the ground. Probably be raising some capital in 2016, 2017. And my last business is called Cause and Direct. And that's a it's a marketing agency that's focused on nonprofits and really helping nonprofits generate sustainable revenue so they can spend more time on mission critical items and less time fundraising. And we're really kicking that off powerfully this year. I'm sorry, we kicked it off powerfully in 2014. We're into our second full year now, and things are charting really well. We have large audiences, so people that are in communities around cancer and around veterans and around women and men. And it's just been a really wonderful experience of having this kind of, like, I'd say, diverse portfolio of things I'm up to. And although my primary time is spent with Path, I see that a lot of potential for the other companies that they can actually all interrelate. And that's important to me, is that I can find ways of, mutually beneficial, being creating mutually beneficial relationships with anything I do. So I want feedback now to benefit from the experience of people at Path and vice versa. So that's something I see happening this year, where I'm hopefully going to be able to kind of interrelate these businesses where everybody can win.
Wow. Sounds like you have a lot going on.
A lot of fun stuff, and all the while to help grow my life with my wife and my beautiful little boy, and have a life that we want. Because all the things I said I'm doing, all have to be aligned with what my wife and my son and I, we want as a family unit. So it's all related, even small business owners that whose financial well-being is contingent upon their business's financial well-being. I like to relate my personal life with my business life in terms of what I want, and them causing one to have the other be successful. So that's the way to do it, I think, for me.
Well, certainly that's something we talked about earlier in the conversation, and I know that many, as I mentioned earlier, many people struggle with how to find that right alignment and balance between personal and business lives.
For sure.
Matt, how can our audience learn more about you?
Yeah, it's a great question. I've actually no longer have a website directly to get a hold of me, but most people can reach me either directly at through LinkedIn, LinkedIn.com/in/MattPerlman, or can reach me on Twitter at Matthew Perlman. And I think that I'm also happy to share my email, which is matt@perlmania.com. Matt, MATT at Perlmania, PERLMANIA.com. Either of those three ways is best to get a hold of me, and I'm quick to respond. I love being in communication. So if there's any questions or people have want to pick my brain about something, I love what you're building and the community you have around you here, David. And I think if there's any people in this community that are interested in talking more about what they're doing and how I may be able to give a piece of insight and be a new advocate for them, let me know.
Thanks for offering that, Matt. It's been great having you on today. Fascinating conversation about alignment of goals and values and what it actually takes in terms of nuts and bolts to grow a successful business. So thank you so much for joining us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been entrepreneur Matt Perlman. Thank you again, Matt, for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day, everyone.